It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hello there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Good to see you once again. Hey, this week, you want to get kind of back to basics a little bit with some of your discussion on the basic tools of a sound mind from which this program gets its name.
That's a good way to put it, actually, Mark. Yeah. Back to the basics because, people come in for counseling. Obviously, that's what I do, counselor and life coach. And so, circumstances change in life, but the basic tools don't. And as I've said in many of my radio broadcasts, life is not easy, but it's simple. And mental health is basically simple. We have pretty much all of our negative emotions that we have can be summed up under just anxiety/depression. And those all come from a similar place. So I've talked about that before. I talk a little bit about it this week and next week too. Let me get into this. Circumstances are always changing. Boy, they're changing quickly here. Mm. However, the path for humanity, the salvation of humanity, the homeward path of sinful humanity. It's a process. It's, the scripture says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that it's God that works in you both the will and to do of his good pleasure. Well, we have that salvation experience, but then salvation is a process. And each life is its own process. Each man, each woman, each boy, each girl has a process. Process of learning to know God, a process of learning to recognize his voice, to surrender to him, to know his strength, all this is a process that we're going through. There are no magic words, no quick fix, no pill, no anything that you, this is all a process, lifelong process. And this is what we're in the midst of. So circumstances change, but God's purpose and his path does not alter. I've said, we have this, ever since this pandemic thing came out, this is thrown like a monkey wrench or a wrench into the works. Monkey wrench into the works, I guess, is the saying. Just like it's
how so?
Gave
how?
The well, it's just another layer of frustration. You take all the just the frustrations of life and the things we deal with, and then on top of that, you throw this whole other global thing in on it. And it's gotten people in a tailspin, and we've forgotten that these things that come along in our lives they have not altered God's plan for your life, not a bit. This was not a total surprise to God, not a surprise at all. God knows all about these things, and coming through them is part of the process. So God's given us all that we need. He really has in the tools that he's given us. He knew the process of life, all these things that come on to us, whether they're of parts of sin or just the nature of life itself. God knows all about these things, and he's given us all that we need to live victorious, godly lives. But we need to use the whole counsel of God. We can't just pick and choose.
Yeah, you mentioned here that the basic tools of sound mind, you said three in particular, the Word of God, meditation, and vision. So obviously, first and foremost is the Word of God.
Yeah, the Word of God. Now, I've been guilty of going through seasons where the Bible just didn't seem to speak to me. Now, we say almost as a cliche that you can always get something out of the Bible, and that's probably true, but I think everybody that's walked with God for a while, that's been a Christian for a while, knows what I'm talking about when I say that there are times when the Scripture just seems dry and it doesn't really speak to my situation today. But I've been realizing lately, and a lot of it's been because of the additional pressures on life today, but I've been realizing lately how important it is to just be surrounded by the Word of God. There's a couple of terms that are out there today. Echo chamber is one. And loop is another, whether it's an emotional loop or a psychological loop or a political loop, or where people are just, the echo chamber is people just listening to their own opinions or people with like opinions and not getting outside of that to get fresh ideas or different ideas and challenging ideas. And the same is with an emotional loop or a philosophical loop or a psychological loop or a logical loop, where people just stay within a kind of belief narrative that they have, and they never get out, and they just repeat it at circles and at circles. A lot of times it doesn't even need to make sense. They just stay in that circle. But being in the Word of God, having the Word of God around us, is a way of challenging that those echo chambers or those psychological loops. So the Word of God is a light into our path. It's a lamp into my feet, a light into my path, says it, Psalms 119. The Word of God shows what God's up to. It shows us how life works. It shows us where we're going and how to manage. Now, it's not so important, I'm thinking, that every day I get something out of the Word of God. I suppose that's a good thing, and a lot of people kind of model their lives that way. They want to get something from the Word of God. I'm just talking to people who have experienced that, where some days you really have got to, it's got to be a shoe spoon kind of thing, where you can get that scripture that you open the Bible up to. Or if you're reading through the Bible, you come to those passages of the genealogies, and it's just hard to get something out of that that's meaningful through the through the day. But if you are in the Word, it's just going to, you're in the flow of information in a sense, and it's just going to increase your ability to, or the chances that the Bible will speak to your situation. Another reason to be in the Word and always reading the Word in some way is that as we go through life and we experience ups and downs and calamities and disappointments and that, you know, it takes a group of Bible verses. The Bible works as a system. There are parts of the scriptures that we like to remember. For example, casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you. So someone might be going through a real trial and a time of tribulation or testing, and someone quotes that scripture to them. Well, you know, you should just cast your care upon Him because He cares for you. And it just kind of like bounces off, because it's like, I tried that. I tried casting it. You know, it just came back. Before that, though, before that scripture verse, verse 7, that's 1 Peter 5, before that it says, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you. There's a context in which these kind of good news, cast your cares upon Him or be anxious for nothing. There are contexts. And if we're not in the scripture, we miss the context. So we try to use these little plugs, and they don't seem to work. But the Bible is a system. And so the longer we're in it, the more we begin to get the system. It's like studying a language, where you get bits and pieces of it to begin with. And the more you're in the language, the more the language starts to make sense. Or it could be like mathematics, where you're giving an aspect of a problem, and it's doesn't make sense until you read the whole problem. It's that kind of a thing, where the longer we're in the Word, the more we get to see the different pieces that come into different pieces of the system, and then we don't wind up just trying to take these little plugs in, like put them in this situation, and then finding that they don't always work that way. So being in the scripture, this is how it lights my path. It lights my path when I begin to see that it's all a system, and that's how it all works together. That's why it works. So there's the Word of God. There's also meditation. And so the Word of God is what lights my path. Meditation is what applies the Word specifically to my life circumstances. Yeah, in Psalm 1, and it's interesting, this is Psalm 1. It is the very first of the Psalms. And it begins, the very first Psalm begins with, "Blessed is the man." And then it tells us some wonderful things. It's a short Psalm. Maybe many people, young people, have memorized this as part of their education, Christian education. But blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the way of sinners, sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And I've often wondered, as I'm sure a lot of Christians have wondered, how do you meditate in the law of God day and night? Would that be the Ten Commandments? What is it talking about the law? I think what the psalmist is saying here is the counsel of God, meditates in the counsel of God. Again, this meditation is where the Word of God becomes applicable to my specific life circumstances as I meditate, spend time in God's presence. If I'm also spending time in the Word, because if you spend time in God's presence, but you don't spend time in the Word of God can't be woven into your meditations. But if you find that you'll find that if you are spending time in the Word of God and meditating, the Word of God will be woven into your woven into that experience.
Mm-hmm.
Psalms 119 in verse 4, it talks about the precepts lead to understanding. And then, of course, as we as I said in verse 5, the precepts lead to understanding, and therefore they're a lamp to my feet and a light into my path. And when we come back from the break, I want to go a little bit further and talk a little bit about prayer too, which is an aspect of meditation, and then go on with talk about some vision.
Okay, so looking at the basic tools of the sound mind, which is word, meditation, and vision. And Daniel is a life coaching counselor, and he might need to help you with some things that you're going through. Maybe you feel a need during these difficult times to sort some things out in your life. He does individual counseling, marriage counseling. And if people need help, Daniel, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. And people also email me through the website BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you're going to find about 6 years of these podcasts. And this one's going to be there, posted there as well.
And you have offices where again?
Yeah, offices are in Edmonds and Kirkland.
Edmonds and Kirkland, but also doing a lot of Skype counseling these days. If people need that option, it's available. Back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169. Hello, this is Daniel Pryor, host of the Sound Mind broadcast show here on KCIS. Right now, I'm doing a lot of Skype counseling, and this is a great way to get counseling in this time. So if that interests you, give me a call at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169, or contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Sound Mind this week with Daniel, looking at some basic tools of the sound mind, word, meditation, vision. Before the break, we were getting into meditation. And you mean by meditation, Daniel, not just meditating on your navel, but a focus on God's word for your meditation.
And I think that patience is a word that comes to mind. Patiently waiting and taking the time to just really spend time and be quiet in the presence of God. I think a lot of times Christians that's kind of a learning curve for us, particularly in the West. Busy, busy, busy. We got so many things that we can do. It's hard to find just that that time to just spend quiet time and allow our spirits to be quiet and scriptures to come to mind and be aware of the fact that we're in the presence of God. And a lot of that is just waiting and being quiet until your spirit begins to just be aware of God's presence. Not so much sitting and having something to say or program to go through, but sometimes just sitting and being quiet and just letting the pressures of the world and the responsibilities of the day just drift away for a couple of minutes until you can just be quiet in the presence of God. And then you'll hear, not through your ears, of course, but in your heart, the voice of God just calming you and maybe even speak to you some words out of Scripture. I wanted to comment one more short thing on Psalms 119. Some of these things you've heard as believers over and over and over, and you probably know exactly where to find them in Scripture, but you know, this is Psalms 119, verse 9, you know, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word. Verse 10 or verse 15, I'll meditate in your precepts and have respect to your ways. Verse 16, delight in your statutes, not forget your word. So we talked about, first of all, we talked about the word and just beginning to get in the habit of having something from the word every day and not with the intent that that is going to speak to you today, but it's like charging your battery or filling the gas tank, you know, or buying stocks or you know, groceries or something. You may not use it that day, but it's going to be useful at some point in time. So we need to be on a diet of the word because it's got to get into us. The full counsel of God has to get into us, so we're not going to be able to apply it to our daily walk in our meditation. So I wanted to move on to prayer because that's a part of meditation too. Now, prayer is a lot of things, and they're all important. First, prayer is communion with God. I think we all recognize that. Prayer is communion with God. Sometimes in prayer, the heart dialogues with God, so to understand Him and to understand His leading. So sometimes in prayer, I'm just talking to God as a friend. And this is the kind of prayer that I can do if I'm walking, driving, in the course of the day. You know, men ought always to pray, and this is one of those aspects of prayer that we could have any time when we can just discipline ourselves to turn our mind toward prayer instead of letting our minds go off into political issues that we can't really do anything about and so many things in that whole arena of thought. But we can discipline ourselves to turn our minds toward God and just have a chat with God. So this is a communion with God.
And you really make the point here, too. You believe that prayer can be a form, kind of a weapon, getting things done. What do you mean by that?
That's another aspect. Well, so we pray for people's healing. We pray for people's salvation. We pray, you know, for the president. We pray for the church. Many people have experienced actual spiritual warfare where, you know, we're told in Scripture, whatever you bind and whatever you loose will here on earth will be bound and loosed in heaven. So we have, we're actual warfare. You know, I think it was, so the book of Daniel, where Daniel's talking about that. He was praying, and his prayer wasn't answered. And then a messenger came from God and said, "Well, the reason I was delayed is because the prince of Persia." There was an actual spiritual warfare. And Paul says, you know, we don't struggle against flesh and blood, but against principalities.
I think we forget that. We think prayer is just kind of consoling ourselves and going through our checklist, but it really can be a very engaging experience, and it's necessary.
Yeah, I did one time many years ago a study on words of prayer, and I think I came up with something like 37 or 38 words, English words that are translated prayer or associated with prayer from Scripture, and it was everything from just, you know, "Hey, you," or, hey, I pray you, I'm asking you to, and I think it was Haggai, where there was only a word that was associated with prayer was only mentioned once. And it took pages to write down the definition of that. It had to do with real warfare and just striving in prayer. Hard work, intercessory prayers.
What about praying with other people? Is that something that is important as well? Like, because the Bible talks about where two or more are gathered. Yeah. I mean, it seems like there's.
And if you'll agree on anything, you know, if any two of you agree on anything in my name. Yeah, and because I have this down as prayer as an actual communion with one another. So let me break that down, because we're not praying to one another, but we pray for one another. And I've mentioned a number of times on the show, I mentioned it again, the wonderful book, In His Image, by Dr. Paul Brand. And it goes through the physical body and how that the physical body is exactly, kind of mirror image of the body of Christ. And I say, rightly so, and it's understandable because they're both in the image of God. They would only be that way. But so we act as cells in the body. Every individual is like a cell in the body. And the cells in the body communicate one with another. I've used the example a lot of times, if I hit my thumb with a hammer, every cell in my body realizes that there's been damage done to the body. The cells communicate just at, you know, not say the speed of light, but very quickly. And the entire body is, in a sense, in communion. It's unified. And I've said that suffering and pain is what makes draws the body together like nothing else. So I have people, churches and pastors that I pray for in other parts of the world, and I'm sure you do too. And when we pray for them, we don't see prayers answered generally. Sometimes we see them answered, but they're always answered, and they're always part of this process of the body being united. And so prayer is a way of communing with one another like cells in the body commune. And yes, when we come together as believers and we agree on something, let's say we're agreeing that someone get healed. That person might be healed, but whether or not the person is healed, there's another thing that goes on, and that is the union of the body working together. So I have had situations, I'm sure everyone has, where you've prayed for someone and you prayed for healing, and the person wasn't healed. In fact, some atheist wrote a song about that, "Nothing Fails Like Prayer." But he didn't understand what prayer is meant to do, because prayer teaches us what God is doing a lot of times. And we might pray for someone's healing, and it's good to do that. You remember David prayed for the child that Bathsheba, that illegitimate child that Bathsheba was pregnant with. And when that child was born, the child was ill, and so David was praying for the child, but the child died. We don't all get what we think the answer to prayer should be, but prayer has as much to do with the body of Christ coming together and bearing one another's burdens and sharing one another's joys as it has to do with just asking and receiving. So the last thing I want to talk about is vision. So we've talked about the Word of God. We've talked about the importance of meditation. And I want to talk about vision. Of course, the verse that comes to mind quickly for most people is, without a vision, the people wander aimlessly, or the people perish. I've talked a previous show about the scripture verse that says from Hebrews 12, laying aside every weight and sin that so easily besets you, so that we might run the race that's set before us. It's the same as the vision. Without a vision, we talked before about, if I don't see the race that's set before me, I don't know how to prepare for the race. I don't know what weights to set aside. It's similar that if I don't have a vision, if I don't see that path before me, if I don't see the race before me, I'm rather lost. I have no alternative. If I don't have something out there in the future that I'm shooting for, I have no alternative but to live in the past. And that's where a lot of our depression and anxiety comes from. It's like living without a vision, living without my eye on the race that's set before me. And when I say the race that's set before me, There's the general race that's set before the body of Christ, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and that we should be joined together in that Christ-like expression here. But there's a race that's set before every individual, too. And so it's important to have that vision. And these things kind of come together, and having the vision, it's important for meditation, important for the Word. Something to be said for fellowship, too, but I'm going to focus on that probably on a different show. Close with Psalms 90. You know, Psalms 90, teach us to number our days. Why do I need to number my days? Well, because the Psalm 90 talks about the fact that life is brief and it's very earnest. Probably need to do one on Psalm 90 because it talks a lot about the wrath of God, and that needs to be explained. It's not as though God is a mean man, but God is a just God. And life is brief, and it's earnest. It has a point. And so the psalmist says, teach us to number our days. Teach us to account for our time. Teach us to account for our days. Be good stewards of our time so that we can apply ourselves to wisdom. So I hope these are helpful with people going through all these various things that are thrown upon us at this time. Life isn't easy, but it's simple. And these are the tools of sound mind, word, meditation, and vision. You need to keep that in mind.
Okay, if people need some help with some counseling, either individual counseling, marital counseling, how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. People also email me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you'll find about 6 years of these radio podcasts.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.